Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're just talking about India and what is happening there in the slums. 65 million people, one in six people in India live in the slums. And it's projected by 2017, that's not far off now, that number is going to swell to 107 million people. And I think about how blessed we've been in the United States. I mean, how we have so many resources available to us. And as believers, as Christians, what we need to do to respond to the poverty around the world and what we can do with the gospel, with the good news. And I think about Matthew 28:19. This is the Great Commission. And this is what Jesus tells us to do. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. We have a commission, not a suggestion. And joining me today is Steve Kolesheski. And Steve, this is not a suggestion. Jesus told us to go and make disciples. And I think the hindrance there, because I have a question, you know, is it possible, can it be true that we can get so caught up in our own personal relationships with God that we forget about the global implications of the Great Commission?
Absolutely. And what you just said before, as far as what Jesus says, is make disciples of all nations. So often we leave that significant word of all out of the scenario. Just like what you're saying, we get caught up in where we are now and totally losing out the reality of the fact that there's so much outside of our present reality, our street, our neighborhood, our zip code, our state, our county. And it's like being able to see that there is a world outside of our existence, a world outside of what we presently know.
And it causes me really to think, you know, can we have a personal, what's the depth of our personal relationship with God? We've got to start asking these questions, because the book of Proverbs tells us that a wise man, a wise woman gives thought to their ways. And so we need to begin to start evaluating and really trying to get some understanding as to why we do the things that we do, not just that we do things, but what was behind that and why didn't I why did I do that? And so how can we really have a personal, abiding, a personal relationship with God and not truly care to fulfill the Great Commission or not fully be engaged with the understanding of our responsibility before God and before our fellow brothers and sisters all around the world?
Right.
When I think about all the blessings that we have here in the United States, because I think that's the biggest problem. We get so caught up in living in the West and being part of, you know, America and our citizenship here that we fail to recognize the great blessing that we have. And it doesn't it doesn't cross our mind that there's children living in slums, not just in India, but in the Philippines and parts of Africa and other parts of Asia. People are suffering on a daily basis. I mean, not too long ago on this program, we were talking about how people in Cuba live on $30 a month, a dollar a day. That's what they live on, a dollar a day. And our coffee costs more than that. And so what is our responsibility, Great Commission? What's our responsibility before God? When you think about it, we've been blessed in this nation with an enormous amount of wealth. All the billionaires, they're mainly concentrated in the United States. Surely there's billionaires in other parts of the world, but by far the greatest amount of billionaires are in the United States. When you think about intelligence and being able to have access to educational resources, the United States is at the top. When you think about innovation, what country produces more products and has more companies than the United States? Apple, the people that make the iPhone, the iPad, their company is reported to be worth more than Russia's stock exchange. One company. And you think about the innovation that's available today with technology, with the internet. It used to be, you know, not too long ago that if every house in America had a television, you were blessed. Well, not only do we have every home in America probably has a television, they have four or five TVs. And they not only have one computer, they have several computers and iPads and all these different things that now make connectivity and sharing those resources so much easier.
Well, you don't even have to go into the the awareness of innovation. When you walk through a culture, a typical neighborhood in America, the simple things of drywall, air conditioning, a roof, carpet.
Yeah.
When I was in the military, I served two deployments in Iraq, and I was in Fallujah. And I've literally walked in homes that are made of mud. I've literally walked in homes that the roof is straw. And during the summer months, when it gets so hot, it gets so humid, it's not out of the ordinary to drive through a neighborhood, to walk on a patrol in a neighborhood and see families sleeping in every single lawn because they're not going to sleep inside.
Wow. It's too hot.
Because it's so hot because they don't have air conditioning. They don't have heating. They don't have ventilation.
Wow.
They've got wind. And it's like we're looking at, yeah, I have an iPod. I have a Dell or new computer. And it's like you have a home.
Yeah.
You have a mortgage.
Yeah.
And it's like the best way that I can look at it is that we're, in his most simplest of terms, we're saying, yeah, I'm at an 8 or I'm really looking for that moment when I'm going to be at a 9. And we're seeing that one transition of one movement forward. But all the while, we're totally losing out on so many people in the world are living at 1 or less than that.
The question is, what are we going to do?
Exactly.
What are we going to do? We talked about exactly what you're saying. We talked about the innovation, the creativity.
Mm-hmm.
We live in America. We have a constitution that affords us freedom to do basically almost anything we want to do as long as we're not breaking laws and hurting other people.
Right.
But we have the ability to use our wealth to do anything. And I think that a lot of times Christians, not just Americans, Christians, we see these blessings as a right in America and not as a privilege.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really step back to evaluate, like, I did absolutely nothing to be born here in America. I did nothing to enjoy these privileges, to live in a country that I can order food and, you know, just do anything that I want, to have all these resources and luxuries available to me. And I think about, what are we going to do with that? Are we really seeing ourselves as global Christians? Because the Great Commission is for every nation. The Great Commission is for us to be able to reach out to all people groups with the gospel and the hope of Jesus Christ. And I think that we've valued our American citizenship far greater than our heavenly citizenship. Mm-hmm. If we claim any citizenship, it's the citizenship of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And we understand that what the Bible says is true, that life is but a vapor. We're here just for a moment, and then we're gone. We're going to be in eternity with the Lord. And the question is going to be, like, what did you do? What did you do with that vapor? What did you do with that moment? And with all the blessings and all the resources that were afforded to you, did you maximize them to share the gospel and the hope of Jesus Christ with the needy of the world?
You know, I think about just in the conversations that we've had about the oppression in so many of the nations against someone who is just carrying a Bible or saying the name of Jesus. And I think about the freedoms of exactly what you're saying, that we can talk about Jesus Christ. We can carry the Bible. We can worship freely. We can gather. We can pray in the name of Jesus. And not only do we have that ability, but we have the resources to share that with other nations outside of the borders of this nation. And it's like it goes right back to what Jesus said. All nations, the world.
Yeah. So many times we get stuck on the trappings of wealth and the things that are available to us.
Mm-hmm.
I hear people say, well, you know, I would give more if I had more. I would give more if I have more of those resources. Well, you have a lot of resources. You have tons of them.
Mm-hmm.
More than the great majority of the world. In fact, according to USA Today, I'm going to share with you how much money is spent on soda and candy and some of the delicious snacks that we eat from. They say that most of these convenience stores, if you look at them, when you go get your gasoline, for instance, for your automobile, for your car, if you notice that all these Circle K's and 7-Elevens and all these different little stores that we go into, they're filled with candy. And they primarily make billions of dollars. It's reported that Americans alone on Halloween – one day spent $2.8 billion. That's with a B, $1 billion just on candy. And that on fast food is a $117 billion industry. Think about it. And they say nearly half of all Americans drink soda daily. I mean, what if we just gave up soda for, you know, gave up soda for a month? What if we just didn't buy candy at all and used those resources to fund the gospel and to spread those resources all over the world? Listen, we have great opportunities. Instead of wasting some of these resources on indulgences, we should be looking at, wow, how can I be challenged in this area? One of the things that I've noticed, even in my own life, is that if we don't set provision, if you don't plan for it, if you don't move with intentionality that this is what, you know, I'm going to do, if you don't prepare for it, it's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. You've got to be able to start preparing and saying, Lord, how would you direct me? And it always goes back to, too, having that sense of gratitude of what the Lord's blessed you with. Because I think that the other thing that comes into place here, Steve, is that too many of us take credit for the resources and the finances and the things that we have. We take credit, not crediting the Lord. I mean, the careers, the homes, the, you know, the education, all the different things that run through our hands that God allows us to possess as entrustments, we really need to start looking at them as, hey, they all belong to the Lord, and we're just managing them for his use, for his glory. How can God get glory out of this? When we get back from this break, we're going to continue to talk about some of these things and it's just how we can be challenged to say, Lord, we want to participate in the Great Commission. We want to use the resources that you've blessed us with in this nation and use it to the furtherance of your kingdom and to reach all of these just people all over the world, our brothers and sisters that need help. We can do it. And I know you can do it too. Well, according to USA Today, $2.7 billion was spent on candy. Candy for Halloween, $2.7 billion. And $117 billion is spent every year in the fast food industry. And we think about, you know, what if we took these resources instead of just, you know, throwing them away, if you will, right? Because it's a momentary thing. You're just eating a candy or some fast food and it's done, right? I need to lay off of that some more, right? But we start planning just those resources alone into furthering the gospel, you know, and helping the poor and those that are least fortunate. And it causes me to think, you know, we need to evaluate, like, are we living in America for such a time as this?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, what if America was no longer the prosperous nation that it is today? I mean, what if we lost all of those blessings? What if we lost those freedoms? Imagine if America today didn't exist any longer the way we're enjoying it now. Would we look back and say, wow, what did we do? Like, remember that time. Remember those freedoms. Remember the abundance that we had. We didn't think twice before we bought a $5 coffee or whatever it is that we did. You know, we didn't even think twice about that. And now it's nowhere near where it used to be. And let me tell you, unless we repent, that's exactly where we're headed. It's exactly where we're headed. But I also think about Queen Esther. You know, when Queen Esther went into the palace and she was being, you know, interviewed, if you will, to be, you know, to be selected if she's going to be a queen. She went through a period of time of wonderful living. I mean, you think about it. She was soaking in perfume.
Mm-hmm.
She had the choices of foods. We can't even say that she lived in the top 1% of the people, probably top half of 1% of the entire population. She had everything at her disposal, everything. And then when she became queen, you could imagine the luxuries and the wealth and the servants that she had. And at any moment, Esther really could have got caught up in the blessing, if you will. At any time, she could have got lost in the sauce, right? She could have got so overwhelmed with the life of leisure and of pleasure and of fortune and of comfort and of convenience and of ease. At any moment, that could have happened to her. But she didn't. And I think about what her uncle told her. Maybe the spirit of Mordecai is still here today, grabbing the shirts, you know, if you will. And he didn't do this, but I'm just saying he just looked directly into her eye and said, listen, maybe you've, for such a time as this, maybe you're in this position for such a time as this. And it was because Esther, she didn't get caught up. She didn't get distracted. She understood that she was in a place of privilege. She understood that she had access to power and that for this moment. She didn't arrive there because of her great looks, and she didn't arrive there because she was just so amazing. She arrived there. She had to come to the realization that she arrived there because God placed her there. Mm-hmm. And she declared a fast. And you know what? Because she was able to approach the king, and she even was willing to risk her life to do that. She was willing to risk her life. God spared the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about our founding fathers. I mean, they've pledged their lives, their fortune, their sacred honor. They didn't even know if America was going to work out, but they put when they signed the Declaration of Independence, 27 reasons to break free from England, it was said that John Hancock put his signature so big that the king could read his signature without reading glasses. He wanted him to know. And if this experiment didn't work out, it was over for them.
Mm-hmm.
They were done. They were finished. And I just feel that same kind of call reaching out to us today, Steve, saying, America, Esther, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
American Christians, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You're living in the lap of luxury. What are you going to do for those that are least fortunate? What are you going to do to reach them with the gospel? What are you going to do to sow financially into the lives of those that are suffering just to live? And I think about going through a hurricane here on the Gulf Coast. And I remember, Steve, that there was a period of time we didn't have electricity for 10 days. And I was so amazed to go through that experience to find out
mm-hmm.
how much energy we were, you know, giving and just putting out just to be able to take care of simple everyday necessities. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, we got to cook something. You know what I mean? You got to get mm-hmm. the water and I remember telling my wife, I got to go get some information. Cell phone's not working. Nothing's working. I will see you when I see you sometime. But all these different things that maybe we took for granted when we had electricity, just by not having electricity, how much our life was inconvenienced and made me think, wow, what blessing that we have. Mm-hmm. What amazing fortunes we have. And I guess what we're trying to do today is to help all of us avoid tomorrow's regrets today. Regret is such a horrible word. You don't want to look at the end of your life. You certainly don't want to be standing in heaven and wonder, could I have done more? Mm-hmm. Could I have prayed more? Could I have given more? What did I live my life? And I think many times, even if we even make it to heaven, and the question is, you know, will we be there? And you can avoid those regrets by saying, you know what, I'm going to do something different with my life. I'm going to recognize that God's blessed me to live in the most blessed land in the entire world. He's given me freedoms, given me luxuries, and I want to give God my whole life, and I want to see myself today as a global Christian, intergalactical, if that's okay. I don't even know if that's correct, but my citizenship is in heaven, and I just happen to live in America, and I want to do whatever I can do. I mean, we talked about how one life. Just one person, Steve.
Yeah.
One person began saying, listen, she went on a trip with her husband. She was impacted in India and came back and said, I've got to do something about this. And she started this organization and started helping, you know, 25 children, 50 children, 75 children. You say, well, that's not much. Well, it's a lot to the 75 children.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot to those that didn't eat. You know, we talk about how young people and children say, well, you know, I haven't had anything to eat. And it's like, well, you didn't have any fast food or you didn't have any, you know, snacks or what? Oh, there's plenty to eat. You know, you just didn't get your cookies and your whatever you wanted. And I think a lot of times we view that today. I want to encourage you, listen, we can make this change. We can take care of the least of these among us. And we need to position ourselves and position everything about ourselves, our finances, our lives.
Mm.
Are we being good stewards of what God has entrusted to us to be able to reach the multitude for the Lord? We're only here but a vapor. And once we're gone, you know, woulda, shoulda, coulda, but if we didn't, we didn't. We can avoid that today, and we can give our very best to advancing God's kingdom for his glory. The goal is simple: heaven full, hell empty.
Mm.
And I'll tell you what, God will reward you for what you've done to the least of these. I mean, the Bible is clear. Those who give to the poor are actually lending to God. And that is a tremendous blessing.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Dated Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.